Hello, and thank you for listening today. My name is Russ Marin. I am the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. Years ago, I was teaching an adult Sunday school class as a young believer, and I talked about the judgment seat of God, and a man boldly raised his hand and said, "We as believers will never stand before the judgment seat of God." And I said, "No, sir." I said, "You're wrong." But as a young believer, I was unable to show him a verse. But let me show you this verse today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So my friend, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And today I'm going to be talking about this judgment. Let's go right now to the church auditorium. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, he makes a statement here. We quote this many times. If this tent dies, then our soul immediately goes to be with the Lord. And we would say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we are at home in the body, and we're absent from the Lord. But if we are absent from the body, if the body dies, then we'll be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, "Wherefore," knowing all that, knowing we have a new body in heaven, says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we are acceptable of Him." Paul's desire was to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. He's going way beyond just getting saved. His desire here, he's not talking about getting saved. He's talking, now I want to be acceptable. I want to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word labor here is the idea of being ambitious. I am ambitious towards being acceptable by God. God, take me. God, make me. God, break me. Make me like Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 5, the Bible says this. It says, "Seekest thou," that's a question, "seekest thou things for yourself?" And God says, "Seek them not." Don't seek great things for yourself. Instead, seek to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be acceptable to God." Paul wanted to please the Lord. That's what he wanted his life to be. I ask you this question. Are you ambitious? Are you ambitious with the idea that I want my life to be acceptable? I want my life to be pleasing to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. I want to ambitiously be pleasing to Jesus Christ. My life. Verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Now the word, you see the word there, appear. It says, "For we must all appear," as a Greek word, phaneroo. And phaneroo means this. Phaneroo means who you really are. If we would call someone up here on the platform and they would appear before us, we would see how they're dressed, we would see their outward appearance, but we wouldn't have any idea what was in their heart. We wouldn't know their thought life, we wouldn't know good or bad, we wouldn't know anything. Well, this word says we must all appear, appear the way we really are, who we really are before God. I had someone just a few weeks ago, they were telling me about an individual, and they said, "This guy is a con artist. He's a con artist. He fools everybody." Now, I want to tell you something. If you have any thought you're going to fool God, you want to dismiss it. There may be some con artists at the judgment seat, but there ain't going to be anybody that cons the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is going to appear before God and fool God. You're going to appear as genuinely as you are. That's the way you're going to appear to Him. He knows everything. He knows every thought.
He knows every desire. He knows every motive why you do things. You appear before God. Does that make sense? It's not just, hey, we're going to have a conversation. He knows everything. We appear before God. Now watch. It says, you appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat is the Bema judgment seat. It's a place of reward. The old Roman Colosseums, there would be a governor set in the Bema seat. And when the athletic event or whatever was taking place was over, the winner of the contest would come up before the Bema seat, and he would be rewarded. They'd put a crown of fig leaves on his head as the winner. It's a place of reward. Now, watch this, because I think that some people misunderstand this. It says, you'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. From the moment that you got saved, everything will be judged at the Bema seat. There is not one day that you and I have ever lived since getting saved that will not be brought into the judgment seat. Every day, from the moment you got saved, will be judged at the Bema judgment seat. I tell you, that makes it pretty important. Pretty important. Now watch what's going to be judged. It says, the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Good things are going to be judged, and bad things are going to be judged. You know, normally, we think of a reward as being something for something you've done good. But if you get up to bat, if you were playing for the Cleveland Indians today and you hit a home run, you might be rewarded with a bigger contract or maybe with a bonus or getting to play tomorrow. But if you strike out four times today, your reward might be getting benched or being cut or being traded or getting a lower salary. The reward can be for good and it can be for bad. This verse says that you appear at the Bema judgment seat for the things done in the body after you got saved, the good and the bad. So, I think at the Bema judgment seat, this is going to be very, very serious business. It's not just going to be, wow, I get this gift and I get this reward and I get this and I get this and I get this. There's going to be a decision made also of what will be lost. What will be lost at the judgment seat? What will I not get at the judgment seat because of the way I lived? Because of the bad that I did after I got saved? I understand all the sins paid for. But we will be judged according to how we lived in the body after we got saved. The good and the bad. Romans 14:12. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Everything we'll give an account for. And now verse 11, and I'm done. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Paul says, terror for a wasted life. It'll be a terror to stand before God and have a wasted Christian life. It'll be a terror to stand before God and have lost opportunities to win people to Christ. It'll be a terror to stand before God and recognize family has gone to hell without trusting Christ as Savior. It will be a terror to stand before God and say, I have nothing. I have no fruit to hand you. I have no fruit. God, I played golf. God, I was a baseball fan. God, I was interested in trains. No fruit. No fruit. It will be a terror to stand before God as God gazes into your eyes face to face and you say, I did nothing for Christ. I got saved, but I did nothing for him after that. There are two very important things at this judgment seat that you want to remember. Number one, in Matthew 7, it says, God's judgment on you, the standard he uses, will be determined by how you judged other people. So if I have a judgmental spirit, If I have a critical spirit, I can, you know, I can pick out all the things that you did wrong, and I recognize everything that's bad about you. If I have a judgmental spirit, then God will judge me by the same standard. He'll be critical to me. He'll be very judgmental with me. However, on the other hand, if I am very forgiving and non-judgmental, then the Bible teaches that God will use that standard on me, that He'll be very quick to forgive me. I'll tell you, if there's anything in the Bible that would cause any one of us to say, hey, I want to be forgiving of someone who sinned against me, it's that principle, that if I am forgiving, God will be forgiving with me. The other thing that I want you to recognize, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. This might be one of the most important things you will ever do. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Maybe the most important thing you and I can do today is to judge ourselves rightly, correctly, thoroughly, humbly, honestly. Judge ourselves. How am I living, God? Am I selfish? Am I jealous? Am I puffed up? Am I proud? Am I coveting? Am I lusting? Am I lazy? God, where am I spiritually? Am I faithful? If I will judge myself, this verse says God won't judge me. But if I will not judge myself, then God will judge me. One of the hardest things you and I will do is judge ourselves. But it will prevent us from being judged by God. Now, I'm not saying you're going to miss the beam of judgment seat. I'm talking about right now in this life now. If I will judge myself, then God will not have to judge me. But if I just am negligent, I won't take an honest look at my life, then the Bible says God will judge me. And for that reason, same chapter, for that reason, many are sick and many are dead. So the Bible teaches, if I'll judge my own sin, God won't have to in this life. If I won't judge my own sin, God will. And when God judges, many are sick and many are dead. Wow, what a warning. How important is it for me to judge myself? Well, it's very important. Very important. So why is all this important? When Paul said, you know what? If this tent dies, I'm going to heaven. But I want to live my life now so that it's pleasing to Jesus Christ. And when I look at the judgment seat, it puts a new fervency in my life. I have a new fervency to live for Christ. Why? Because I'm going to stand before the throne of God and give an account. How ambitious are you today? How ambitious are you to please God? I want God to be pleased with my thought life. I want Him to be pleased with how I'm living, how I'm doing. I want God to be pleased. How ambitious are you to please God today?